Welcome to episode 333 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Just love the way you say thelabwithbrad.com.
Well, thanks.
It's very soothing.
The only thing I really get right in the whole show. I kind of wish this episode was happening next week.
Why is it?
Because it would be March 17th. Which is the anniversary of the first thing I want to bring up.
Oh, well, we can release it then.
We're on vacation. We've used every other excuse.
Yeah, right.
2016.
Okay.
On March 17th,
mm-hmm.
A guy in Austria was looking at Jupiter.
Okay.
Taking pictures of it through his telescope.
Cool.
In order to get enough pictures to sort of extract one good one.
Yeah.
You know, to try and compensate for atmospheric distortion and so forth. He saw a flash.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And maybe that's an impact.
That'd be great.
Or something's wrong with my equipment.
Yeah, right.
But 2 days later, we get the video posted from the guy from Ireland.
Oh.
Who also caught the flash.
Hey.
It looks like something hit Jupiter around then.
So does the guy with the camera get the naming rights? Do you get the name?
I don't think you name impacts. Oh. They get named after whatever hit it.
Yeah.
And by the time it hit it, it's already gone.
What was that?
Okay. This joins confirmed impacts from, there was 1994 mm-hmm. when the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet pieces hit it.
Okay.
Ah, I got that out. Also 2009, twice in 2010, mm-hmm. and 2012. Jupiter gets hit a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So do you think it's protecting us from some of this nasty space hit us, kill us-ness?
That certainly sounds like a good theory.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
It's certainly large enough, right?
Yeah, it's not just a surface area, so to speak. It's a, suck it in. Power. You know what I mean? There are better words for this.
Can you see me right now? It's got over 142,000 kilometer diameter.
See? Yeah.
More than 88,000 mile diameter.
Okay.
That is about 11 times more than the Earth.
Oh, okay.
10.9733, if you want to. Mass-wise...
Okay.
If you took all of the other planets,
mm-hmm.
it would outweigh that by 2.5 times.
Oh, wait. Oh, Jupiter. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 318 planet Earths, mass-wise.
Jeez.
About 1,300 Earths would fit inside Jupiter by volume.
Neat.
It's just not as dense as we are.
Yeah. It's all gassy.
It is about 5.2 times further away from the sun than we are.
Okay.
And orbits the sun once every 11.86 Earth years.
Okay.
About 12.
Yeah. That's kind of what I would expect.
Hmm. So I've seen models that sort of say, hey, it's cleaning up the neighborhood for us.
That sounds good.
I've also seen models that suggest it's throwing at least as much at us. And one model suggested it was responsible for the late heavy bombardment. So, thanks, Jupiter.
Well, that's once every geologic time, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it only happened though.
Mm-hmm. I forget.
Who needs dinosaurs anyway? It certainly had an effect on the formation of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
It's thought to be the first planet to have formed.
Okay, yeah.
I'd go more into those theories.
Right.
But there are like too many of them.
Right.
And too contradictory. People are looking at the same sets of data and drawing opposite conclusions.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a sign in science that we don't know enough to really guess intelligently yet.
Yeah, it's like nutrition science.
It's almost like we should go take a closer look at the planet.
Yes, let's do it.
Maybe with some robotic spacecraft.
Hot dang.
Which we talked about on Monday. I keep saying robotics and automation in space and space travel.
That's what you say.
So I've been making an effort lately to try and squeeze in some robotics and automation.
No, go figure.
In space and space travel. So I thought I'd talk about missions to Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Because there have been more than the Galileo. It's just that the Galileo got me interested, and and then all that happened. And thus, here we are.
Yeah, okay.
All right, it all starts in 1953.
Holy crap, okay.
With the Pioneer program. Nothing to do with Jupiter yet. These were mostly trying to be near the moon, pass by it, orbit it, look at it.
Right, right.
Mostly failures.
Crap.
Typical the 1950s and 1960s. Most things like blew up on the pad.
Yeah.
And other issues
we're
like
figuring
that.
It out. It's rocket science.
There are a couple that made it. There's one on the inside of Earth's orbit.
Okay.
Between Venus and Earth. And there's another one orbiting the sun between Earth and Mars.
Okay.
So they're still alive.
Hey, cool.
But then along comes the Mariner program,
mm-hmm.
starting in the early 60s.
Yeah.
Out of 10 missions, 7 of them succeeded.
Hey.
Really successful hardware. And I only mention them because a lot of the other spacecraft we're talking about
right.
were redesigned Mariner probes.
Well, if it ain't broke.
So this alignment of the planets was coming up.
Oh, okay.
In the 1990s. It's a rare phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a proposed mission called the Grand Tour.
Ooh.
And they're going to visit a whole bunch of different planets and look at them and go, yay.
Yay.
But both for budget reasons and for launch delays, it never quite happened.
Well, that sucks.
But there was the Pioneer program.
Right.
Squeezed in a couple of more missions.
Oh.
And Pioneer 10 and 11.
Cool.
Respectively in 1973 and 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, they were going to go visit Jupiter, do the flyby, and get information on what they would need to do to pull off the Grand Tour mission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that happened. Or rather, didn't happen. And they eventually decided they're going to do a Mariner Jupiter mission.
Okay.
Which was renamed... just before launch in 1977, Voyager 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've heard of those.
Yeah, I mean, what's all this Mariner business?
Yeah. Oh, I should mention, Pioneer 10 and 11,
yeah.
They flew by Jupiter.
Right.
And also achieved escape velocity for the solar system.
Oh.
Two of the 5 spacecraft that have done that so far.
Nice. Was that on purpose? Well, it's just like, wee! Well, there it goes.
Well, they were yes. Yes, it was on purpose.
Okay.
But along comes the Voyagers,
mm-hmm.
which are another 2 of the 5 that have achieved escape velocity for our solar system.
Not many, really. I mean, I assumed we were always sending probes out to outer solar system.
Yeah, well, yeah, no. But all of them are on this list anyway, so... There was a probe called Ulysses.
Oh, okay.
Who was actually studying the sun
mm-hmm.
and doing all sorts of maneuvers to try and look at the higher latitude of the sun, like pass over the poles.
Right.
There is no rocket that can lift up enough fuel to do that straight. So it did a gravity assist in 1993 or 1992? 1992 did a gravity assist to change directions. So he could look at the top and bottom of the sun. No camera on the damn thing, so we didn't get any pictures.
What?
It also did another flyby in 2004.
Mm.
So good for Ulysses.
Busy little thing.
Cassini.
Uh-huh.
Passed by Jupiter in 2000.
Uh-huh.
It was on the way to Saturn.
Okay.
Which it eventually reached.
Nice.
Yay for Cassini.
This is just a list. Okay, yeah, well, we're moving on. All right.
Yay for Cassini. 2007, the New Horizons spacecraft.
Yes.
On its way to study Pluto.
Right.
And a couple other Kuiper-belt objects
before
going off and reaching escape velocity.
Yay!
It is the 5th of the 5.
Okay.
Yeah, it flew by Jupiter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter's just handy if you want to visit any part of the rest of the damn solar system outside of the inner planets.
That's huge. You can't miss it. Well, actually, you can.
Well, actually, you really need to. Near misses is what we're after here. Although, speaking of which, there's the Galileo space probe.
Oh?
One of the ones that wasn't a flyby. We've mentioned this before.
Oh, yeah.
Its atmospheric probe of the planet is the only atmospheric probe of Jupiter so far.
Right.
And only one of two artificial things that have hit Jupiter so far.
Okay.
The second one being the actual Galileo orbiter in order to avoid possible contamination of the icy moons.
Mm-hmm. More worried about the moons, but it was just crashing on Jupiter.
It'll be fun. The spacecraft Juno
arrived
in 2016.
Okay.
To orbit Jupiter and study the moons and so on and so forth.
I could hold Juno.
Its original mission was going to end in 2018, but then they extended it.
Because it's still working.
It's still working. Yeah. So yeah, they extended it to 2021.
Cool.
And then it's still working. So it has been extended to 2025. It is still out there doing its mission right now.
Nice.
Unless something terrible happened while we're recording.
I know, right?
There's a couple more missions planned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because some of the older articles I've read or even things I've linked to available on the show pages, which you can find by visiting labwithbrad.com, talk about these missions all happening in 2022.
Right.
Okay. Not anymore.
Yeah.
One by the European Space Agency.
Okay.
Jupiter Icy Moon Explorer, nicknamed Juice.
I love it.
It is actually planning to study the icy moons of Jupiter, thus the name.
Mm-hmm.
The four Galilean satellites, the four big ones, big moons.
Yeah.
Three of those, not including Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto.
Well, what about Io?
Well, nobody thinks anything lives there.
I do.
One on the super volcanic erupting all the time. One that's not an icy moon.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The one everyone's super excited about, Europa.
Oh, that's right.
We talked about that in the previous episode.
Yes, indeed.
332, which you can find by visiting labwithbrad.com. It's got its own mission.
Oh?
NASA is planning to launch it in 2024.
Cool.
Called the Europa Clipper.
Clipper. Huh. Is that descriptive? What exactly are they doing?
Are they planning to miss it?
We're going to shave off this little part here.
We thought it was the smoothest object in the solar system, but we've noticed a 5 o'clock shadow.
There's jokes here. I just can't.
Okay, well, let's get out of here. So Jupiter's day is about 10 hours long.
Okay.
Despite it being so much bigger than us.
Hmm.
It's spinning pretty quickly.
Right, right.
But to make things more confusing.
Yes.
It's not solid. It's all gaseous,
right.
Gassy. So different bits of it actually spin at slightly different rates.
How do we know? The same question was asked.
Well, I mean, some of that you can just flat out see. There's all those colorful bands swirling around.
Yeah.
And some of them up towards the north take about 5 minutes longer to swing around the planet than the ones down at the equator.
I forgot what moon it was, though, but they said the surface seems to be spinning faster than the actual planet.
Europa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm still not sure how they figured that out. Thanks for bringing it up.
Well, we like to revisit questions we never planned to answer.
Which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Those colored bands?
Yeah.
Not them, but the winds associated with them go about 3,000 kilometers or 2,000 miles deep.
Oh, well,
these are thick features.
Yeah, yeah.
With things traveling at different speeds and all those winds, you'd expect there were some storms.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Of course.
Let's start with the poles.
Oh. Okay.
Which we never really saw until Juno got there.
Good old Juno.
Turns out to be storms hanging around the poles.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how permanent or transitory they are.
Mm-hmm.
You got wind speeds of about 100 meters per second.
Oh, okay.
360 kilometers an hour.
Jeez.
220 miles an hour. It's funny because the Galileo atmospheric probe detected winds up to 400 miles an hour.
Hmm.
So it's a windy place.
Well, yeah. No, nowhere you'd want to stand for more than one reason.
Also, there is nowhere to stand.
Yeah.
The North Pole has 9 cyclones.
Oh, crap.
One in the middle and 8 around it.
Mm-hmm. Is this all off of just Juno's data?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why we don't know how long they live. This is the first time we ever saw them.
Well, that one time there was 9 cyclists. Okay, I got you.
Around the South Pole, they've got 1 in the middle, mm-hmm. again. And then 5 big ones and 1 little one.
You're going to walk here in a circle.
Of course, the most famous storm on Jupiter is the Great Red Spot.
Yes.
Which we have seen for at least 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 22 degrees south of the equator.
Right.
And it is an anticyclone.
Which
means it's got a high pressure area and winds around it, as opposed to a low pressure area and winds around it.
Oh.
And it's upwelling. Spitting up out of the planet.
Oh, neat. Okay.
We've been seeing it since 1831.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly saw it as early as 1665.
Right, right.
It's somewhere between 200 and 500 miles deep. Not as deep as the winds associated with the bands, but pretty deep.
Okay.
Its maximum altitude, it pokes up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of domey. It really looks like a pimple, I gotta say.
Really?
About 8 kilometers up, about 5 miles.
This thing's way more interesting than I thought it was. You know, I just thought it was like, you know, a hurricane eye, the center of the storm, as it were, as opposed to all this reverse and upwelling and,
and all that sort of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It's shrinking.
That's what I was going to ask.
When we first saw it in the 1800s, it was about 41,000 kilometers across, 25,500 miles.
Okay.
By 2015, it shrunk to 16,500 kilometers.
Okay.
Or 10,250 miles. It's less than half once was.
Poor thing.
It seems to be shrinking by 930 kilometers or 580 miles a year.
Well, what is Jupiter going to be without his big red eye? Well, I mean, it's still huge.
It may not go away entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
There are models that suggest that it's going to be... what are you saying about your theory?
I know where this is going.
But there's good news.
Oh.
In 1938, 3 little white ovals were discovered in the southern hemisphere.
Okay.
In 2000, they merged, got bigger, and turned red. It's now called, amongst other names, Red Spot Junior.
Yeah, okay. That's what I would call it.
So even if we lose the one, maybe another one's growing.
Thank goodness.
I'm supposed to have a clever segue.
Uh-oh.
Saturn. We'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.